You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here we
are. And it ought to be time. In fact, it should have been time. And I need this friendly reminder from time to time, because sometimes I can get lackadaisical, and like that ship, I can go on by the dock, and I'm wondering, where am I going to get off? And I messed around and did not heed the warning that God gave to me. Verse 4 says, God also bearing them witness, talking about the early disciples, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. This is according to his own will. And listen, those apostles, they witnessed some, they witnessed folk coming back from the dead at the hands of Jesus Christ. And listen, they were even themselves in the apostolic age able to do some miracles that literally would blow in their own minds, because God was working through them as well. He says in verse 5, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection, he said, the world to come, where he says we speak. And what the writer is saying is that he's pointing actually to the millennial reign when all the believers are there, that the angels aren't going to be in control of that, guys. It's not going to be angel-led. It's not going to be man-led. But Christ is going to be the only authority there in the kingdom world. In verse 6, he said, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visited him? And listen, it's a question that's asked. And I got to be honest, sometimes I ask the Lord that same question just about me in particular. Why would you fool with somebody like me? You already know how I was. You know how I am. You don't even know what I'm going to do tomorrow. Why would you fool with me? And listen, the question here is asked. And it's actually coming out of Psalm 4, verses 6 and 8. And God, in knowing man, he created man. And listen, he said that it was very good in regard to all his creation. But he knew that in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, that he was going to sin and go away from God. He knew that. He knew he was going to have to bring a universal flood and get rid of everything he created, save one family. He knew that. And he knew when he reinstituted man and started human government and started this thing all over again, he knew which way it was going to go. And guys, as wicked as it is during our time, he knew that as well. And nothing catches him by surprise. And yet and still, he created us anyhow. And then had to come up with a fix, because that animal sacrifice thing was just putting folk on layaway. It wasn't really saving nobody. And so he sent his only son, and look, that didn't catch him by surprise either, to die in our stead. Because if he did not save Noah and his family, we wouldn't be here. If he did not allow Christ or send his son to die in our stead, we would not be here either. We'd be on our way to hell. But he came up with a plan. Hallelujah. Not at the last minute. It was always part of his plan. And he instituted grace. And he chose some to be his children. And blessed us with an understanding of what salvation was all about. And called us. And saved us. And now he simply expects we who are his ambassadors, his vessels here on earth, to show forth Jesus Christ. That someone should be able to see Jesus because of how we live. And I dare say, guys, on a lot of fronts, I think we failed. And look, I can do it personally. I know on a lot of fronts I've failed as well. And as we see the day approaching, the scriptures talks about, as we know that things are beginning to wrap up, that sin has gotten increasingly sinful, that we who know the Lord need to be about our Father's business. And that's in everything that we do. Amen. He says in verse 4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, where it says, where we speak, and he's pointing toward the millennial reign, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth after the tribulation period. It says, but one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? It says, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. And that's verse 7, man, and he did. He made us lower than the angels. And a lot of times folk think they're going to go toe-to-toe with a fallen angel, a demon. Look, we go to Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He has already defeated Satan. So why am I going to have a conversation with Satan when I can just simply talk to my God? And like the angel, archangel said to Christ, the Lord rebuke you. He's already finished. Ain't no sense in me going toe-to-toe to try to prove my manhood. He says in verse 7, thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Now here you have these angelic hosts, and we're made lower than them. But yet and still, he put us in control and charge of the things of this world. He did that. And look, the only motivation, and look, he was asking a question that came out of the Psalms in regard to what is man or who is man. Look, he did that whole thing, that whole salvation thing. The only reason why he minds us is because he loves us. And sometimes we're not very lovely, but he loved us anyhow. He says in verse 7, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things, he says, in subjection under his feet. And he did that for man. He put everything under us, at least originally he did. It says, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. He said, and the verse goes on, but now we see not yet all things put under him. And look, he did have us, he had us in a position to be over all things, and then what happens? Sin enters into the picture, and then all of a sudden, just like Adam and Eve, we leave God's protection, we leave God's covering, and next thing you know, we're covering ourselves. And we're running from God, and God is wondering, even so for some believers, brother, sister, where art thou? Because we have left, in a lot of cases, our first love, and we're doing things that we ought not be doing, and we have left our Lord out of it. Amen? He says in verse 10, but we see Jesus, and that's the good news. It says, who was made a little lower than the angels. For, and the purpose why he was made, and by the way, he was made, he wasn't created, but he put on flesh, and he put on man's flesh, who was also made a little lower than the angels, because there was some business, some sin business he had to take care of. And the verse says, for the suffering of death. In other words, he had to put on flesh so that he could take care of the sin issue once and for all. God says that the only thing, even with the animal sacrifices, they had to be perfect animals, no blemishes, and for the permanent fix for sin, it had to be perfect, and only Christ was perfect, so he allowed him to put on flesh to deal with the mess that was down here on this earth, and for 3 years, 3.5 years, he ministered knowing full well what the outcome of this thing was going to be, and look, he looked past the cross, knowing he would raise in victory. But man, there was a lot of turmoil he had to go through before he actually was risen in victory. They wouldn't listen to him. They wouldn't hear him. They wouldn't be obedient to him. And even his hand-picked guys, his disciples, one literally sold him out, and the others act like they did not even know who Jesus was. And denied him, his main man, Peter, 3 times. He knew all this and knew it was going to occur. But he looked past all that. And in fact, he looked past even when God raised him up and put him on the right hand of God, because he had you on his mind and he had me on his mind. And he said, there's going to be this hard-head dude from Philadelphia who I know I'm going to save, but he's going to have to go through some things as well. And all of you, he had you on them on his mind, knowing that if he did not go through what he had to go through on the cross, then you would spend eternity in hell. And he said, I love him too much for that. Dad, Father, I'll go. I'll pay for this sin. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And again, that's that love, that sacrificial love, that agape love that just simply gives for the sake of giving, because someone needs that love. He said in verse 8, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, talking about man. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that was not put under him. But now we see not all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. The verse says, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And remember in this section that the writer is showing us the difference between an angel and the difference between them and Christ, and showing us the superiority of Christ on every level, even from the mouth of the Father, that he has blessed his Son not only to die in our stead, but to raise him up victorious and to send the Holy Spirit that would be a blessing to his people, his spiritual people. And I thank God I'm one of them. And we all need to thank God that we're one of them, and that we will reign with him in glory forever and ever and ever. He says in verse 10, for it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom all things. He says, in bringing many sons unto glory. And by the way, that's part of his salvation process, and you need to thank God every day that he included you in that as well. And look, we know that he created all things. And even right now, guys, the way it seems like things are falling apart, he is still sustaining all things, and nothing gets by him. And though it looks rough, and though the weather patterns have changed, and the seasons have changed, and the animals' activity has changed, and even the human animals or mammals are acting like they're some kind of animals, he's still in control. And he knows exactly what's going on. And he has not yet pulled the plug. But one day, he's going to pull the plug. And we're going to hear a noise, a trumpet sound. And he's going to pull his people out of here. And I got to tell you, I have no idea when it's going to be. But man, as rough as it is out here, and it's getting rougher, things are happening. Man, if it gets any rougher, I don't know how much more we can take. And like Lot, who God used the angel to pull him out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and his heart and his spirit was vexed. As a believer, guys, where our hearts and our spirit are vexed as well. And we look to see what's going on in our world, and even what our government is allowing in our world. And we never thought we would live, hallelujah, to see the day we're in, but we're in. But thank God to Jesus Christ that he has us. And he's working with us, and he's blessing us, and he's keeping us even in the midst of a sinful situation. And hallelujah, guys, like Sodom and Gomorrah, he's going to pull us out one day, like he took Lot out, and he's going to literally destroy this earth that we're on. But until then, he expects us to be his children. And he expects us not to just say we are, but how we live and listen to our attitudes and our walk and our talk. He expects us to show forth Jesus Christ. And like an ambassador to a country, we are representing him, and we want to make sure folk get the right representation of the one we say we love. It can't just be with my mouth. It has to be with my actions and the way I live. It has to be. That is if I truly belong to him. Verse 10 says of chapter 2, what became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory. Thank you, Lord, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. And listen, you read that, man, that sounds like an oxymoron. But look, he already was perfect, but he put on flesh and did not have a sin nature and went through all those sufferings. And because of his works, God now sees us as perfect, and we know we are not. Verse 11 says, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. Imagine that. Imagine that. We're children of the Most High God. And guys, it has nothing to do with us, but it has everything to do with him. And because of what he did, because of what he has given me, man, I need to every once in a while show forth Jesus Christ. I need to every once in a while listen to what he's saying. When he tells me to stop, sometimes I need to be obedient. I need to do what he says. And look, sometimes when he tells me to go forth and do a work, I need to go ahead and do it without mumbling and grumbling and believe that Father knows best, and he's sending me because he wants me to have his best, and he knows how that thing is going to turn out. And I need to trust him and believe him and serve him with everything I've got while it is called today. Because there is coming a time when I'm not going to be able to do anything, either with him taking the church out, with me dying on this side in physical death, or me getting so old I don't even know my name. I don't know. But right now, I'm able to do. And hallelujah, as he directs, I need to do. Amen. He says in verse 11, for both he that sanctifies and they that are sanctified are one. For which cause, it says, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And I wonder about that sometimes, guys. How we're living, what we're involved in, even what we're thinking in our minds. Are we making him ashamed to call us brethren? Are our minds and our hearts pure as he is pure? Are we giving our issues, and we all had some, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, but are we taking them to the Lord and asking him to forgive us of those sins and then repenting of those sins? In other words, we don't go back there anymore. I wonder. Verse 12 says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And listen, we're singing praise unto our Lord for sure. Verse 13 says, and again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God have given me. And again, Christ saying about his church and those that he saved. He says, for as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also likewise took place or part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. He says, and that is the devil. And look, he had to die for that to happen. Had to be a perfect sacrifice. And listen, the Bible says that he is the propitiation, the perfect sacrifice that God would receive in order to forgive sin. And now Satan, who surely wants to kill you, he can't do nothing, not even with nothing on a hair of my head. If I had some, he still needs God's permission to do anything. Because we're under his protection, and he's watching over us and blessing us more than we will ever, ever, ever know. Amen. He goes on in verse 15. In fact, I'm going to read 14. He says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also," it says, "himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, and that is the devil." And verse 15 says, "And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." And guys, you think about those that don't know the Lord, and I would even say probably some that do know the Lord, that we look at death sometimes and we are fearful. Man, sometimes we get afraid, sometimes we get frightened, and man, if the doctor gives us a bad report, we can tremble just a bit. But for the believer, God, we don't have to fear death anymore. And we know for the unbeliever, man, they're doing everything they can to stay alive because this is all they know. And listen, they don't believe the Bible, but they don't want to leave what they know. And look, I've never died before, not physically, but I got to believe by faith what God says, that when absent from the body is the present with the Lord. And if I keel over right now before this flesh hits the body, hits the ground and busts open my head, I ain't going to care because I won't be in this shell. I'll be with him. And the Bible tells, in fact, mark that page there, guys, if you would, and go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That should be on page 1,000 if you're using a Pew Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to zero in on verse 50. Thank you, Lord. And I just want to read a couple of verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, zero in on verse 50. We'll start there. In a Pew Bible, it is page 1,000. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Looks like everybody's there, and we read here, verse 50. It says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption," he says, "inherit incorruption." And look, he's saying it's a spiritual thing. You're either one or you're the other. In verse 51, he said, "Behold, I show you a mystery." And by the way, in the New Testament, every time we see this word mystery, it's talking about something before that was unknown and is getting ready to be revealed right here and right now. Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." And he's talking about dying. And every time the Bible speaks about a believer dying, it's always sleep. It says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." And guys, he's pointing toward the rapture of the church, that there will be some that will die here on earth and end up in heaven. There'll be others that will be here when Christ comes back and calls us up in the air. We call it the rapture. The Bible simply said we're being called up by him. He says in verse 52, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." And by the way, a twink is faster, as my pastor used to tell me, than a wink. As you get a glimmer in your eye, that's just how fast. And it's said that the eye can have movements, thousands of movements in the course of a minute, and in a twinkling of an eye, in a moment, he says, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and that's signifying the end of the church age, it says, "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible." And look, we know that those that have died in Christ, and I have no idea how he's going to do it, but what I know is that he made us, and wherever those parts are, he's going to raise them up and collect them together. Again, a God thing. "And we shall be changed." In other words, the dead rise first, and then the believers who are here will rise. In verse 53, it says, "For this corruptible," and by the way, this flesh body is still corruptible. It still has a sin nature, even though I know Christ. He says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption." In other words, my flesh body, as I'm going up, he's going to change it into a spirit body. This body cannot stand that trip, nor could it bear being in the proximity of Jesus, not full broad. He says, "And this mortal must put on immortality." So when this corruptible, he says, verse 54, shall have put on incorruption. In other words, when God takes me out of my human body and gives me a resurrected body, and this mortal, it says, shall have put on immortality. And by the way, that body is meant for the long haul, is meant for eternity. He goes on, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And guys, what we know that for the believer, man, death means nothing to us. It surely is the end of my physical stature, but it means nothing. It simply means I'm going somewhere and it's going to be better. And he goes on in verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And guys, you got a ton of folk that are here and hearing bad reports from the doctor and are concerned about their death. I'm leaving that up to Christ. I'm believing what he says, and that he tells me that when this time of my life is over, that is only going to get better. And I won't practice war no more. I won't worry about getting sick no more. I won't have to worry about fussing and fighting with folk anymore. I won't have to worry about this law being passed or that law being passed. I won't have to worry about my spirit being vexed with sin anymore, because I'm out of here and I'm with Christ. He says, verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Verse 56 says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, love this, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, guys, please know, and I don't care if you limped in here, I don't care if the doctor said you're looking real bad, I don't care if you don't feel good, please know that you have the victory in Christ Jesus that you've already won. He says in verse 58, in fact, verse 57, he says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Look what he says. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And by the way, not our work, but his work, or work that he's instituted for us to do. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I'll give you a summary of that verse. He's telling you to hold on and hold out, because God is coming and he's going to deliver you. And by the way, that delivery starts right now. You're already in a privileged position. And though it might not look real good through your eyes, though your doctor might tell you, look, you ain't looking too cool, though you don't feel too cool, God says through his word that you are more than conquerors through him that strengthens you. Know that, believe that, and walk in that. Walk like you are somebody. Live like you are somebody. Because in Christ, hallelujah, you are somebody. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this time of study in which we can look into your book of truth. And Father God, allow you by your spirit to touch and bless and minister to us in a mighty and a special way, Father God. You know the concerns of your children. You know what all of us are going through. And my prayer is that you will meet all of us at our most dire need. And Father God, we make our way in here week in and week out. And every week you show us something in your word, Father God, to encourage us. And I pray that you have done that, not just with me, but with this congregation today. Father God, a special prayer for the May family and the loss of Bob May, Father. Just minister to them. And we know that time and you will lessen the impact of it. We ask that you minister to them. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We say yes to your will and to your way as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. And let God's church say, amen. And amen. God bless you guys. Thank you.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp@gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.